grave and put flowers.
He's not there. If he is there, he is an earthbound spirit in torment. Many, many ones, in fact, almost always, but you may not remember, because ones don't remember dreams. And yet some of these experiences will be left in the effort of having you remember. And I can describe it of what happened with the demise of Paul. Paul came for a very special reason, and his was to accomplish exactly what he did. But suicide is an extremely traumatic form of passage for the ones left. There's always the tendency to blame and say, if I had done something differently, my son would not have done this dastardly thing. And what a loss of a mind capable of astrophysics and the greatest in astronomy to be lost to torment. And you will have suicides that are simply perpetrated to escape a system that they cannot function within. But in cases such as Paul's, he had a purpose, a reason, and has already been recycled so that he can complete his mission. But that is beside the point. At the time of the death of the body, it is a terribly traumatic, hurtful thing. And this will happen over and over with close attachments, either to a spouse. Doesn't it touch you every now and then when you will have a couple who have been married for years and years and years, and quite a good human relationship? When one goes, within weeks the other goes. Sometimes within days or hours. This is a merging of the soul. And these transitions just are done, are made. But you take a young child without a disease or something, and the transition must be made, and usually the way, the method, is already planned. A father who is very attached to a child, or vice versa, will experience the following. Within a very short period of time following the physical death, usually within 3 days, that energy will return in what you would call manifested visual form. It would be holographic, granted, but it would be an assembled mass of energy particles. The focus particle will attract its electrons, and you will have manifestation. This is exactly what happens when the smoke detector goes off here. You have what appears to be an apparition. It will always float because it is very light. It does not travel like you do. Therefore, it would very frequently appear to be very tall. When Paul reappeared to the mother, Doris, he appeared to be some 12 feet tall. Well, he is from Hatton, and he is 9.5 feet tall. Do you see? And this allows that energy to come back to the grieving soul and say, it's all right. I am well pleased where I am. I have peace. I am doing more than I could ever do on your place. Appreciate the loss of my presence. And usually these ones will become your guide. Paul immediately went from death to her closest teacher. His presence was never absent. There is a great job to be done here. And many ones that you treasure greatly will make their transition because they are destined to function from the unmaterialized level. Honor your guides. And then you will find when they re-manifest into physical form, you miss them. You will miss them almost more dramatically than when you miss their physical presence. Death changes very little. Man thinks it does. Depending on the state of the body and the emotional status of the essence at time of death, there is a period of time, brothers, where there is no recognition of death. The soul will linger. Those are called earthbound. They don't know what's happened. They don't know they're dead. They continue to try and function. They don't know why they're ignored. They're there in your presence and you don't see them, and they don't understand why you do not respond to them. And then their guides, which you come to be for your growth. Whatever guide you have that are your personal guides, in this instance it is Aphis. He was birthed as the guide along with this one. That was his responsibility. That would be his growth through his dimension. You never stop growing. If you do, you just float through eternity until somebody, some guide, lifts you a little higher. And it is truly not mystical. It is, if you think about it, very logical. Why would a magnificent thing like a soul, a mind that has acquired, be destined to rot in a grave? It's ungracious, to say the very least. And that is the purpose of life, to progress. The lessons to be learned. Always honor your guides. Now what happens here is you ones have returned for special need, a special purpose. And what you perceive is you can't find your guides. Well, there's always one or two there that are new to you. The rest of us are old hat to you. And you can hardly sort us out because we have been your guides and your teachers. You went to the top because you came from the top. And you keep searching all over this world to find what other ones are talking about. And you're not going to find it because you've had it so long ago that you've grown beyond it. And you are simply coming back into balance and knowledge. Always when one departs, bless it. And yes, prayers help, because the energy forms then are called. You cannot make a choice for that one. That one still has choices to make. But you ask the energies to guide and then release it and let it grow. Don't hold on to it and bind it to a broken body, for instance, or a sick and painful existence for your needs. That is not love. That's crutch. And when you have a parent lying in a deathbed in pain, it usually is pleading to go home. And yet it does not want to bring the pain that comes from the separation. So no matter how you grieve within your heart, rejoice that they have made their choice and a passage, and allow them to go. Honor them by missing them. Honor yourself for grieving, and then let it go. And don't go back and back and back. Honor it just as we will honor Paul this minute, by recalling him for the gift he gave. Not by sitting on top of a brass plate in some cemetery yard. That is not honor. You honor the memory, not the material decayed remains. For if he still is in that cemetery, he is in great torment. And I do not give many spiritual lessons anymore. That's one I want you to remember, because you will be faced with it. Just as Daylene has been faced with separation from energies, although not human, or God's creation, no more, no less than you, different. And you respect the energies and you give it honor of remembering the joy and the camaraderie. You do not honor a dead bunch of meat that no longer exists. I hope. Let's talk about something else.
Do you have any data to give to Liz and I about beginning our employment service here? Who we should work with? How we should begin?
How can I say it's premature when the day you start you're going to be behind?
Yeah, that's exactly that's it. That's exactly it. We don't want to be operating out of crisis management.
Fred, you're going to be. There's no other way in the beginning, because there are not funds to structure it yet. And you have nowhere to put the people if you hired them. I would guess that probably the best thing that you can do is when you have opportunities, you're going to find, if you call in, Theophilus would work with you. Your own guides would work with you. Early on, when there is closer proximity, you can work with Jay Gritzner, who is the accountant. Steve can give you a great deal of insight as to legal needs. Your Rick Slater across the street with the computer. Mainly just get it down onto some kind of paper, because the thoughts will simply come to you and you will be very creative. Once you have the pattern of how it works, which I believe that Randall and Rick now understand, Oberly does, but it's very hard to find fragments of time to explain these things when you're in the middle of writing proposals. And you ones will have to write a proposal for funding of a major, major sized employment. What would we call it? What do you want to call it? Manpower, human resources.
The human pool.
Corporation.
Body pushers, no.
Well, I like yours.
New Horizons Employment Management Service.
Well, see, you're going to have a myriad of these corporations, too, because you will have motion picture ones, industrial ones, contractor ones, carpenters ones. So you would want something to begin with that has a delightful name, but then you'll have Shanstone Employee Union or co-worker or co-op or whatever, but
the gamut.
But as you talk about it, I think that you probably have the basic idea. But your two major ones in the beginning will be your construction industry and your office industry. And then it's just going to break down from there until it would be pretty much incredible. But when you start to build a building, what do you need? You need your contractors, and then you will subcontract a lot. But you will need something like they have in the union hall, where ones come and give you the information for their paychecks. And that would be regular old framers, cement workers, carpenters, glaciers, as many as there are, whatever you're doing, electricians. And a lot of those would be subcontractors. You'll have your electrical engineers who have their businesses. But most of those ones you see are very, very pleased to not have to handle this. So let us take your, let us take Charles' electrical engineering firm. And he's going to work with Mr. Architect from Parsons. Well, he has a group of just electricians to call from. But he would much rather hire them through you so that you make those paychecks and he doesn't have that interdealing with the government. And you want to do the paperwork for all of every electrician. He contracts with you and he pays you well to do that for him. And then he knows it's being handled properly. And it does away with all that under the table payment in cash that the government is on your back all the time. Ones will be paid enough that you're not going to play games with the government. At least not on that level. It is not worth it. Paperwork impeccable. Don't give them any reason. There would be fringe benefits and things like that that can be worked in there that will assist those ones. But as far as just basic negotiations, it must be clean. And perhaps one, well, you ones are in the personnel business. But there must be ones who have, what do you call it, white glove or temporary office, or I would guess by talking with these ones, you can pretty much find out what the going things are. A little harder, probably the best way to find out about the myriads is to talk to some union leaders. It's not difficult, it is just a pain. A lot of little details. Where would you think Oberty would be a good place to get information? You see, Parsons probably will even come in with contractors and subcontractors and things like that. So in the beginning, it doesn't need to be so drastic.
Parsons would have a large database in order to cost out their projects.
So they're going to be able to tell you what you're going to need.
We'll be speaking with Parsons this coming week. Perhaps we can set up a dialogue between ladies and their personnel operations. So
now, they would, if they can't, they would at least, most likely, be able to get us to the source that could supply these kinds of people.
Not only people, but the
rates.
Yeah.
Data, numbers.
Just ask Gary.
The details.
State human resources.
The list.
The weights of what?
Just general.
Oh, okay.
The state will have tons of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You see, in engineering, they say, well, it's going to cost so much to build, like, paying them so much. Mm-hmm. And so they have all that data in printing. It's all printed out. And then by the written folder.
And you're going to utilize a lot of local help and pull from Mojave and around. And the one thing about this community, you will not be short of help. They'll go get trained just to help you. Because these ones have the cheap mentality. I'm sorry, I don't know another way to put it. There is intelligence, unreasonableness, and cheapness. And ones go into business on the cheapest possible way. And they will pay minimum wage, if that much. If they could get away without it, they wouldn't pay that much to the very ones who can destroy your business. We will pay, I guess, what you're going to call union scale, without union. In fact, maybe we even give them another little break some way with housing or something that can be considered a fringe benefit that they don't have to pay money for in taxes and you can deduct. We will work on those elements to make it worthwhile for them to want to work for you. I would use this for an example. Costco pays their cashiers $30,000 a year. They are non-union, and believe me, they do not have labor problems. And those ones move their fannies. And they take care of their labor problems. That is just an example. That is a starting salary. And they have motivational bonuses. They make a big game of it. Everybody comes in and starts memorizing those numbers because they are well paid for their service. Therefore, there are very, very few errors. And it can be done. And man will then police himself. Joe Blow, who doesn't bother to learn his numbers, is going to get drummed out of the court. He'll either learn his numbers, because those other ones are not going to allow their system to fold up because of the ones who don't want to work. And you see, this is where the unions did themselves in. They went from doing great good to getting totally corrupted. And then men took that as an opportunity for retirement in many instances at union wage scale. There has to be incentive, there has to be motivation. And then we always have to remember what we're trying to do here. Always the community as the ultimate goal. Done on these particular bases. But we're going to have a period of anywhere from 2 to 5 miserable, wretched years. If and when the system collapses, there's going to be depression. So if you can move into the depression with your employees housed in reasonably good housing, with reasonably new things, you can sit out very nicely a very severe period of time while it is recovering. Therefore, you want the money that would ordinarily go into the pockets of the very few who own the corporation. Now, you don't tell this to your lenders, depending on who they are. They don't give, you know. Do it that way. All they want, the ones that are lending you money, is return of their money with interest. They don't even care about the ultimate return of the money because they have all of that covered with pre-purchased bonds. And they're going to make more than they ever put into you right off the maturity of those bonds. And I'm not going to give you an international bond collateral system here. But let me tell you, it's all covered very, very carefully. You're not getting something for nothing, but they're getting quite a bit for nothing. So they're not after you. So you pour that money that would ordinarily go into your executives and your owners You just make sure your executives and owners get more than they deserve in loans and things like that. You're all going to do very well. Take somebody who would make $100,000 a year. You can hide every bit of that. And then you can build in bonus systems. And then you're going to pay your clerks well. Those ones that can strangle you, cut your throat by throwing out receipts. And then you're going to utilize the children after school. You're going to have big computer systems in every one of these industries. You're going to call it after school employment. And you can take a six-year-old and give him a stack of bills and let him enter it into the computer. And you cannot trust a six-year-old not to make errors, so you have five of them do it. And the best three out of five is going to be accurate. And you pay. You give him service and honor for his contribution. And then he wishes to work with you because we don't call it work. We allow the youth to grow and flower because they must move on. They're here for a purpose. And sitting and playing tiddlywinks or taking pills on the street corner is not it. But you must pour it back into the system so that each one can be prepared for the harder times. And you will not have trouble getting the very best employees. They will line up outside the city to get in. And we will practice nepotism to its very limit. As long as there are children of anyone, mothers, fathers, anybody, they will be expected to make a contribution, yes. But there aren't any who don't want to make a contribution. Man wants to be proud of himself. And to come and say that I can't believe the system. It is because most of them consider if I go into daddy's business, I have just bought my retirement at a great rate. And the business goes downhill? No, not like that. But why would you spend to educate a child? And then not hiring. Let somebody else have the good of it. And if you had to grow up in a family and mom and dad finally get something, why should you not participate? There's no logical reasoning on your place. But man has done it, caused it, because it is corruption. And there will be ones who will try corruption. But you see, if you're fair, and you are more than fair, the system will take care of itself. The weeds would be smothered out by the garden.
Hatan?
Yes.
Have entertainment industries other than the movie studio been thought about, like theaters and shopping centers?
Yes.
I guess the question I have is, how great of a community do you want it to be, population-wise?
As much as the valley will hold. I have no outside limits. But yes, shopping's everything is considered. Everything is considered. We have 4 pages, 5 pages, 6 pages listed one after another. Everything is considered. From organic growing, Gef Smith County, Texas type of organic foods, health foods, vitamins, you name it, it's on there. Everything is on there.
So it will be quite a metropolis.
Unfortunately for you once, yes. That is why if you pick your places in which to dwell, buy every piece of empty land around it. You need some solitude. You don't want to live in what you have lived in, some of you, tight living quarters. And especially you ones who must have a place of solitude in which to do it and beauty. There will be parks. Everything around as it is built up would be of beauty. But you have to consider what is coming in this transition. Unbelievably cruel atmospheric changes. You can expect your temperatures before it's done to reach beyond life temperature.
Explain.
You will have situations where actually your acrylics will melt. If you stop this day polluting your atmosphere, in 15 years might balance out enough to survive. You can depend on the next 15 years, if nothing else happened past 3 months ago, your temperatures will have risen in the summer an average of 15 degrees. You have nothing now to block the cold. This is why you will not have typical summers and winters. You will not have typical fall and spring. You will have 90 degrees one day, as it probably is in LA today, from a high of 60 yesterday. There is no rhyme nor reason already to your seasons. You will be picking up rainfall in places where you least expect it, and it will come in flooding. When the rainforest is gone, and long before gone, it is projected now at the rate of cutting of the rainforest in Brazil in 15 years, it will not even have a twig. Long before that happens, and already you're getting the response of it, you can depend on Iowa, Kansas, and your growing fields not to have any rain. By what happens in Brazil, for heaven's sakes. You are going to have, it is irreversible, you are going to have great impact from these things. So all you really can do is prepare. And you prepare as beautifully as you can. You have chosen a beautiful place. You are in a sheltered area there where you are. And I would suggest that you enjoy every moment of it in that lovely place. And then as things get heavier and harder in your next door place, you can build a beautiful dome or something. You can make transitions. You take what is. And what is would be building of a lot of cellular cement housing. It sounds modular. These can be built into absolutely superb castles, unlimited for variety, and they will appear much like your home. You can even stain them so they look like wood siding, just as your home. Exquisite buildings, but that will not be the ultimate, because you will need to go to aerodynamically sound structures, where the flat-sided ones are very apt to blow down. But they're not going to blow down as rapidly in a sheltered area, such as this particular piece of property up along this hillside. But there will come a time when the winds will blow from every direction. You will have many whirlwinds. There will not be a prevailing wind. Your atmosphere is messed up. It has to recover. And it will get much worse before it can recover. Therefore, by then, you probably will have removed from the earth as you recognize it, and you will then be into the fourth dimensional form. You will not perceive much change other than peace will come, prosperity will come, and you will be noticing very rapidly the absence of darkness. And I do not mean night and day. I mean the murders, the crimes, it will just go its way. And then the third dimensional form you have left will be left in this mess of cleansing. That's why it is very, very important that we try always working toward the avoidance of nuclear destruction. because there is a perfectly natural form of evolution. The damage has already been perpetrated, and the healing would be much easier and less time-consuming if it could start from here rather than further destruction, but it doesn't appear that that's going to happen.
In the fourth dimensional form, do our thoughts manifest? Is the veil of our consciousness lifted so that we remember more than we do now?
Some of you will. Some of you will know all. Those will be the ones who are the leaders of your bunch. Quite frankly, those ones of you who have come for this purpose, in most of the fourth dimensional form, you will not perceive a great difference. You will still be working with the creations of the mind with great abundance of sophisticated technology. You will not recognize it as manifestation as such, as sticking out your hands and simply materializing something from elements. It takes a higher dimensional frequency to do that. There are some on your place right now who can do that. They come from the higher spiritual master realms for that purpose of sharing that ability. And it's quite easy to do. Ones as your David Copperfield already know how to do it. They studied. He has studied greatly with the masters of the Far East. And yes, it can be done. But most of you simply would not choose to do it. You're going to be enjoying living in what you've created. You have manifested it. You just will not perceive it as such. From the city you built here is the manifestation of the thought. And it is so simple that man misses it. He keeps expecting it to come down on him from somewhere out there. Well, it's come down on you from somewhere out there, but you have done it. And it takes you a long time to come into that realization. The children come into it very rapidly if it's not blotted out from their minds. That's why they will cry at you. They don't know how to tell you, but pretty soon they've got you trained and what they want manifests. And it's not a lot different. And they know it will come. So they'll keep crying until it appears. Pretty soon somebody will hear, my diapers are wet. And pretty soon dry diapers manifest. May frustrate you. Well, you're going to frustrate a lot of dark ones, aren't you? It would be boring if you didn't have a little bit of a challenge in the game. But the challenge can come from striving for perfection. Better technology does not have to come from death and horror. There's plenty of challenge in the building. And you will see how the dark energies can impact. Just in what happened with the devil worship program, followed right on the weekend by Halloween in downtown Hollywood, gives a heyday to those who choose the darkness. And that is going to get worse and worse and worse until your cities are a teeming mass. For the ones striving for the light will remove themselves and come stumbling out of there. The ones captured by the darkness, the question always comes, well, are we not going to just be overridden? Do you understand, friends, it does not occur to them to get out of it? Doesn't it strike you as amazing that you have riots? Let us just use the Watts riots, the ghetto riots, the gang violence. If you're not in their midst, you're not at risk. They kill each other. They burn their own stores. the devil worships who have to kid somebody to be a member of the club are the ones dangerous to you, for they don't care who it is. But remember something. The darkness will not come into the light. It will not stay if it stumbles in there. These ones will not like your town. One match puts out the darkness. Think about it. They won't want to be here. It will not occur to them to come here, some little dinky town sitting on the White Wolf Fault. And so some big magnificent corporation built a big dome out here. The ones in the ghetto don't think about it.
That's because they're all up here visiting from the inside. CCM. So they don't want to come back up here.
That's right. What will they think of in L.A. if you mention Tehachapi and they're the criminal element? They're going to think prison. I don't want to get near there. And you've got as many good ones in there. You've got a lot of better ones in there than the wardens patrolling them. But you've got some pretty bad ones in there too. But you know what? They too will read themselves. They won't want to be around this place. It just works that way. And yes, there will be some who will attempt it. But if you know, the big business, if you're careful, you're just going to be a bunch of little businesses. They can't take you over because you're not going to lose control of the stock in your company. You see, you go public, and pretty soon there's so much stock running around out there at such extravagant rates. You either have to buy it back to keep it, or they can come in and force a takeover, a buyout. And then you're stuck with it. So you just don't set yourself up for that. Well, MGM is not going to come take over this studio, as a for instance. If the workers want to come out here and participate, fine, all the better. But you will never fall to that kind of management. That is the most corrupt, deadly one community in the world. For what man sees and images is what man is. And in order to sell, the stories get more and more magnificently awful. And that is what your children are feeding upon. Heavy metal, rock groups, listen to the words. Listen to the words of what your children are eating. And if it requires a very severe parent to bring that back under control, you better see what they're watching, because they will be what they see. And until we can get them seeing the proper visions again in this world, it will continue to deteriorate. I promise it. That is what it is. You are what you vision.
We have about a minute and a half of tape left here, Todd.
I'm through when everybody's through.
We're passing 3 hours in the session. Questions, please?
Consensus, please.
Lunchtime.
No questions, please.
Thank you, Hatan.
Thank you, Commander.
So be it. I thank you for coming.
Can I start packing now?
I think it would be excellent, especially to weed out.
You take more boxes on my broken
down.
They're all flat. They're fitting in the car.
children should get your exchange system going.
I'll start the box exchange.
I want you ones with beautiful things. It's important that you ones have beautiful things. That brings peace to the soul. Aho. My blessings and my love. It shall be. It is already done. We are playing the parts. And I love you dearly.
Thank you.
Salut.
Salut.
Salut. And for the blessings of the Triune who keeps you, then don't you forget it. Salut.